It's a little funny for me to be preaching on a scripture today that talks about groaning labor pains or even adoption, because frankly, I don't know nothing about birthing no babies. I was blessed at the age of 43 to become the stepmother of two bouncing boys, but they were pretty much, they are pretty much grown up. But I will admit there were some pains in getting there. The closest thing I've come to is standing at the window of the hospital and watching our newborn grandsons being washed after birth, and at that I just wanted to break through that window and tell those ladies to take it easy, that that was my grandbaby that they were scrubbing so hard on. So that's the closest I can come. So honestly, as I stand here and tell you I understand about labor pains, I can't really honestly say I do firsthand. I certainly have walked the path before with friends who have gone through adoption. I've walked through friends who have filled out paperwork, who have gone through home visits, who have gotten excited and then had the pain of not getting the child they thought they would get. I've also stood at the airport with my friends in Oklahoma who adopted a beautiful Korean baby girl as we waited for the airplane to arrive. They may not have had the same kind of labor pains that parents have, but the look on their face were certainly that of the same fear and the same unknowns and the same questions of what's going on. What kind of parents are we going to be? Are we ready for this? The same realization that life is never going to be the same again. From the moment on that they received that little girl, their lives were entwined with a new life, and their lives were never to be the same. Paul's example here of new life brings so many things to the surface for me. I remember as a teenager, there was a song by a group you probably never heard of, but the group was called Farrell and Farrell. And they sang a song that was called The Adoption. I would hear it on the radio and think that it was so awesome to think of myself as being adopted by God. That God went through the process of choosing me and adopting me. And I would listen to the song and I would get all warm and fuzzy, and you know, our youth group would want to sing it, and I loved it. And then as I grew up, and the side of me that questioned a lot came out, I started kind of resenting the scripture, and I guess the song too, and I would say, but wait, I've always been a child of God regardless. I wasn't adopted, I was created by God. So I guess I kind of just would skip over this scripture, set it aside, and not pay much attention to it. But as I studied it this week and really looked at the words, I really thought about that line in the scripture, spirit of adoption. And that kept going through my head, spirit of adoption. I was on my way over to visit John and Carolyn at Cornerstone, and I was listening to NPR, and a story came on about weaving. A rug weaver, in particular Navajo rug weavers, understand that perfection should always be pursued but never achieved. If perfection is achieved, then what else is there to strive for? That leaves no room for experience. And so a rug weaver always weaves one line into his or her rug that stands out from the rest of the pattern. It appears to be a flaw, but it's actually very intentional. And this is known as a spirit line. The line is woven into the rug so that the pattern isn't perfect. The line leaves room for creativity. If the weaver achieves perfection, then they can no longer receive creative inspiration because they've already perfected it. And so the spirit line is there to let the good spirit into the art and the bad spirit out. And I thought about that after I heard it. And I read that verse again in the scripture, the spirit of adoption. We go into big decisions in our lives with such expectation of perfection, which I didn't get it perfect right then either. But we go into our lives and to big decisions, expecting it to be perfect. I really love to hear young people who are getting ready to start a family, and they talk about how my kids are going to behave. I really love to hear it. I really wish I could set a tape recorder sometime and just play it back to them when they have a 2-year-old. Do you ever wonder if God really knew how his creation was going to turn out? Especially us? Do you ever wonder that? I admit I do. And as I watch parents who have such high expectations before they have children, and I see them after they have children, and you look at them and you know they would do it all again without hesitation, because that child in their eyes are perfect. So the spirit of adoption that Paul speaks of, can that be the willingness of God to say to each one of us, in my eyes, you're perfect? Yes, you may have that spirit line in you, but I know you. I know your good and your bad. And I love you. I know you, warts and all, and I love you. What an awesome feeling that is. One of my closest friends was in town this last week. She lives in Montgomery, Alabama. She was in our wedding. And we've kept in touch over the 30 years, but over the last 10, not like we should. Facebook, a few phone calls. So Eileen was coming to town for a meeting in San Antonio, and she said, could I come 2 days early and stay with Roy and you? And I said, of course, we would love it. And so she came into town Wednesday night. And you know, when you know someone for 30 years, there's a lot of talking going on. And we've been through some really hard times together. She knows things about me that not another soul on this earth knows. Not even Roy. So over the 30 years, we have cried together. We've gone through broken hearts together. We have lost family members together. We've traveled together. We've stayed up many nights together. We've laughed together. And so Thursday morning, as we were sitting on the back patio in that cool breeze that we had Thursday morning, and just talking 90 to nothing, I realized how amazing it was to be truly known by someone and still loved. I really don't think that much has gone on in my life over the last 30 years that I haven't shared with Eileen. And the more that I share, the more she loves me. The more I share, the more I love her. That's a rare quality to find in a friend. Someone that you know loves you more with every detail they learn about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the kind of love that Paul is talking about here. Not a kind of relationship that we're afraid to show our real selves because we're afraid that we aren't lovable. But the kind of relationship that says, I love you because of all that you are. I see that spirit line in you, that flaw that shows up in you, that shows me that you are not complete yet. But that makes you more lovable. That morning, sitting with Eileen on the patio, I realized that 9 years of being apart was but a day. Sure, it took a lot of talking and laughing and crying to get us caught up with one another, but the love never skipped a beat. The being known, truly known by another and still loved, is the best feeling ever, and that's just exactly what God gives us. And it's just exactly what we owe each other as the community of Christ, as the body of Christ. The ability to come together and know that there's nothing about us that makes us unworthy of love. That nothing in our lives makes us unworthy of God's love. And nothing makes us unworthy of each other's love. These doors are wide open because there's room at the feet of Jesus for all. The words of our opening hymn today, I would invite you to look at it. The words are amazingly beautiful. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now in the darkness is vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in, the rich and the haughty. Gather us in, the poor and the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. You can read the rest of it, but those words ring out to me. Here in this place, we're adopted by our Creator. Here in this place, we're adopted by each other. That's part of being a part of a church. That's why we ask people to join our church to say, here I am, and I am connected with you. And I want to be here, and I want this place to be my safe place. And I want this place to be the place that says, it's okay to be flawed. We all are flawed. But we gather together because this is the kingdom, and now is the place. Amen. And amen.